You're listening to a podcast from 702.
Nikki Bush is here. We are here to play. And I promise you today we are going to play. Beg your pardon. We are going to play today. We've been promising to play for a while. And we just get carried away with our discussions. But today we are going to play. There are toys in front of us and we're going to play. But before that, Nikki, thanks for coming in. Hello.
That's a pleasure. Thanks, Pamela.
I am fascinated at how much I want to speak about my own personal experience, how much I literally now have to physically hold a child to look at me and say, listen, I'm talking to you.
Yes.
The distractions are so many that you would think it's not a natural skill anymore. So it doesn't seem like listening is something that is happening automatically. You have to push away all the other noises outside of the distraction of your children to get them to focus and listen. It is hard.
It's very hard. I think there are so many distractions. You think about how we're bombarded by marketing and advertising and things all the time. Every brand is screaming and shouting for our attention, but not just our attention, our children's attention. Mm. So everybody has this split attention because we have what I call the noise of technology, so screens in our lives, and the clutter of consumerism, which is all that marketing that goes on incessantly, that chatter, 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 chatter. And with so much distraction, we have to, as you say, be very conscious when we're communicating with each other to make that eye contact and to be able to hold that attention. And I think so much of our communication, and let's look at communication, listening is a very important part of communication, and yet it's becoming a lost art. We are born with two ears and one mouth. Therefore, we should be listening twice as much as we should be speaking. And I think that's quite a nice little rule of thumb. Mm-hmm. We so often find ourselves speaking, and even children are speaking and not listening. I love having children around a dinner table to see who understands the art of conversation, because the art of conversation is about speaking and listening, not just about speaking and getting your point of view across.
So the trouble here is that you are living in a society now where you getting attention is what gets people going. So people are taught to shout the loudest.
Yes.
To be the quickest, to be the one seeking. So you seek the attention. No one's teaching you to be the receiver and do it with elegance. You know,
yes.
Nobody says you're cool if you just sit back.
Yes.
You've got to be the one taking the photograph. You've got to be the one tweeting. You've got to be the one getting the likes. So all of this is you putting out.
Yes.
The information and the noise and see me, look at me, look at me, like me, like me. No one says it's actually cool to sit back and not be liked and just listen to others.
Yeah. And it is amazing how much we are focusing on when we listen. We're not listening to understand.
Yeah.
We're listening to respond.
Yeah.
That's quite literally.
And the quickest.
And the quickest. Yeah. And to get the most attention from our response.
Yeah.
So we're really not listening to each other. We're listening with a selfish premise.
Of course.
To respond. And that is causing unbelievable issues in society. Mm. Not just at home with children. But if I listen to the show so far this morning, if we talk about unions not listening, if we talk about politicians not listening, they're all in it. You were talking about the cushy relationships between people for personal gain. I am experiencing a huge level of lack of empathy in the financial industry, the insurance industry, the policing, etc., with what I'm going through with wrapping up a life, the life of my husband. And if I have to listen to one more person say to me when I phone in to a call center and I say, I have a policy with you. It's in my husband's name and my husband has passed away. I need to change, we need to change the policy details, and I need to give you new banking details so that your debit order goes off every month and you get paid. And the first response is, sorry, we can't speak to you, we need to speak to your husband. Sorry, what did you not hear? I just told you my husband is dead. If I tell you, I deal with this every day. Because people are not listening. They're following a script. Obviously, call centers, you follow a script. But we're going to this level where they didn't hear that I said right at the beginning, my husband is dead. And along with listening comes empathy. And empathy is part of being human. And it's the thing that we need to teach our children the most is how to be empathetic. But I can tell you I'm dealing with lawyers, not just call center operators, highly educated people who have absolutely no empathy. They're not listening. They're not hearing. So this is at every single level of society. And it filters down to our homes. And if I tell you that I'm just as guilty as many people, when my husband was alive, he used to get really irritated with me because I would finish his sentences sometimes. Before he'd finished what he wanted to say, I'd be finishing for him. How often, he would just give me that look and he, you know, or go silent or very tersely say through gritted teeth, will you stop interrupting me and let me finish? And we do the same to children, particularly young children who are like between the ages of 3 and 7, when they're learning how to communicate, when they're learning to speak, and we're so busy and they start on some commentary or another. And because we don't have time to listen, we jump ahead and we assume what they're speaking about and we try and finish those sentences. And then they get frustrated with us and they say, but mummy, listen to me. You're not listening. You're not hearing. Or they're jabbering on when you collect them from school about their day and you are not listening. You are thinking about something else. And then you ask them a question and then they say, but I told you just now what happened. And then you go, oh, you know, catching you in the act of not listening. So this is actually a leadership exercise more than anything else because good leaders listen.
It's a fascinating, fascinating topic because it goes as far as not enabling a child to have vocabulary.
Oh, yes.
You do it so much that you disempower your children finishing their sentences. And the problem with that is that it's easy. It's easy for a child to just rely on you to do it for them.
And then they get this learned helplessness.
That's it. All the time, just... And they do that. And it's not as if they don't think they're communicating because you're so used to filling in the words for them that they kind of do.
And then they stop.
And well, you must get it.
Yes. Interestingly, when you have siblings.
Yeah.
There's often one child who's a better communicator than the other, more, you know, naturally skilled at communication.
I've got one of those.
And you find that that child also fills in the gaps for the other child.
Yeah.
And recently a friend of mine's son went away for a month to bush school. And she said it was just so fascinating because now they only had one child at home and you see the communication skills coming out very differently when there's no competition for airtime.
Yeah.
And what you were alluding to earlier was this competition for airtime, that we need to be heard and we need to be seen. But that good listening practice often starts at the dinner table where we take turns to speak. And we take turns to listen to each other. So that art of conversation is really good. And also getting people to talk about how they feel about things. Not just what happened, but how they feel. That's the vocabulary.
Validating the feelings.
The EQ. And validating the feelings and validating the person.
Well,
the whole being.
Because it's when you're much older... And you cannot possibly articulate what is wrong with you, that it started there. That you are not given the opportunity to say, well, I'm feeling sad.
Yes.
Right? Well, and we take for granted that everyone has a language for how they're feeling, which is not true.
Yes.
It's practice. It's being, not even just having the words, it's being able to identify the feeling and expressing it, which makes everybody's life better. Because if you came to work and said, you know, today I'm having a really bad day.
Yes.
I bet you everybody will sympathize. I bet you everybody else will work with you on whatever it is that you're dealing with. Unlike if you just walked in grumpy and took it out on everybody else, then nobody knows what's wrong with
you. Yes, everyone's wondering what happened to her.
Yeah.
You know, what happened to him?
Yeah.
You know, they, yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing is that if we can't communicate how we feel, we will act out how we feel, which is often destructive.
Mm.
And I think once again, we see this at every level of society. And I speak about this very regularly. We've spoken about the three nonverbal questions that we and our children ask of each other every single day and of our important people in our lives. Do you see me? Do you hear me? Am I important to you? Now, a lot of those questions are answered when people pay attention and they listen to each other. They make time to listen to each other. I have run so many workshops over the years, my Parenting on the Run workshops, that really focus a lot around these three questions. How to fill people's emotional cups by paying attention and listening. And we all have negative attention-seeking strategies. They are ingrained in us, and they can be linked to personality and temperament as well. And it's not just children who have these negative attention-seeking strategies. Adults have them as well. So when we feel sidelined, that people are not paying attention, and I'm saying in the true sense of the word, engaging with us, seeing the whole being, seeing the bigger energetic being, not just the physical person standing in front of me, seeing all the potential in that person, etc. Adults, we scream, we fight, we ignore each other, we have affairs.
We become destructive.
We become destructive. Mm. When you now think about what you've just said, we become destructive.
Mm.
We live in a country where one of your previous callers was saying workers have to keep taking to the streets to be heard.
Mm.
We turn to violence in our society when our leaders do not listen.
Mm.
My husband was killed.
Mm.
I can trace that back to the fact that we live in a country where our leadership, there was terrible leadership, a leadership vacuum, where people are going, if you're not listening, we will make you listen. Think of Fees Must Fall.
Mm.
It became destructive because people were not listening. Mm. So we get to a point where if you don't hear me, I will make you listen.
Mm.
And it can be at a political level, at a national level, at a personal level, at every level of society. This is one of the fundamental drivers of human nature, that we seek to be noticed, to be validated as a human being. And if we keep getting sidelined, something will break inside us, and then we might break things outside us. We might get tearful. We might get irritable. Dress up. We undress, we cook fancy food, we starve each other, you know, and so it goes on.
And it might kill you too.
It can kill you too. So children have exactly the same kind of programming. So they do things like they cry if we don't hear them. They get cheeky. And I've asked children, what happens when you feel invisible at home? Now think about that word, invisible.
I heard a couple of days ago someone said their child, who is, I think, 4, was asked at school about, you know, general question to everybody, what would you like to be when you grow up? And the one child said, I would love to be a phone. Oh, why do you think you want to be a phone?
A phone.
A phone. Because if my parents could love me as much as they love their phones, that would be the best thing for me.
Isn't that an indictment?
Yeah. Innocent answer. And that person wasn't trying to be funny. Child was not trying.
Was just 4. That was innocent. Yeah.
And for them, the attention that they were giving the phone was just unbelievable.
Yes.
She couldn't compete with the phone.
Yep.
And all she wanted to be was the phone.
Yes.
Because all she wanted to be was to get the attention the parents are giving to the device.
Yes. And you know, when we pay a lot of attention to one child in the family and not another child, the child who's not getting the attention will find a way to get that attention. They get ill.
Yes.
Illness illness is a wonderful way to get attention.
Yes.
They throw tantrums and hissy fits. They stop eating. Think about children in the preschool years where there are potty training and food issues. It's often a way they can control what is out of control in their lives.
Oh.
So they regress and they start pooing in their pants, or they refuse to go and poo on the loo. They wet their beds. A lot of these things are cries for attention for an unmet need. Some want to just sleep all day. They don't want to wake up. They withdraw. They could be loud. So you get the child who's overly boisterous and is not listening to anyone else, often because they're not being heard. They might embarrass you in public because that's a lovely way to get your attention. Showing bad sportsmanship. I've watched 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds throw tennis rackets, have tantrums on a soccer field, often because the parents are not listening.
You know, Nikki, there is a story, which is a true story for me and my family, of a child who was a bully to one of my kids at preschool level. And so we were brought in as parents to be told about, you know, your child has got problems with one other child who's bullying them. Have you picked this up? Blah, 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 blah. And we were surprised. But our reaction was very much, oh, is there anything we can do, right? Apart from dealing with our own child, is there anything we can do? Yes, this child was going through other personal stuff. So there was a reason. And the manner in which all parties, so ourselves, this child's parents, and the school managed the situation, can I tell you that little child became so close to the child, which is my child, they were bullying, that I'm told to this day they don't have other friends, because remember, the pattern continues unless if you do something different. So the difference was, and unlike other parents who were venting and were mad, we are not going to allow this to happen to our child, there was a story there, and there was a space to being empathetic. We didn't react in that way. And what it means to me was that child received all that information of someone's hearing
validation.
Me.
Yeah.
Someone's
acknowledgement.
Acknowledging my pain.
Yep.
And so the reaction was not that of hostility.
Yes.
And as a result of that, they have been so close and there is no issue as whatsoever. However, the child continues to bully other children, which is such an interesting thing.
Mm. You know, even suicide
is
a call for help. But beyond that, acknowledgement, validation, listening, hearing somebody. But what's interesting about what you've just said is, I came across a school recently where they have a zero tolerance for teen suicide, because they've worked out that this is becoming a manipulation now, because kids have worked out that if we attempt suicide, we will get attention.
Mm.
So it is interesting. And kids do get smart about the fact that if I bully, I will get attention.
Kids manipulate.
They manipulate.
Yeah.
So it is an attention-seeking thing, but it's about getting underneath that to find the real cause of what's wrong. So when we talk about, you know, listening, we really need to be, you know, listening intentionally, and there are a couple of strategies that we do need to employ as adults. So disconnect from technological distractions. So when you're at the dinner table, which is a great place to teach communication and listening skills, switch off those devices. Yeah. You know, when people say my cell phone was stolen, it was the best thing that happened to our family for a week, because they weren't distracted by that cell phone. It just made everything easier in terms of communicating with each other at those important times. Of course, practically, it makes your life very, very difficult. Be open and not defensive. And you just alluded to that in that exchange you had with the school about the child who was bullying. Be curious. Mm. So when you listen to your children, be curious. You don't necessarily have all the answers.
Mm.
Listen for those interesting insights that children can bring to the table so innocently. And sometimes quite off the wall stuff. It's good.
It's amazing.
You know, we have to celebrate our children's curiosity and their creativity,
yep,
and their ability to come up with original thoughts.
Yes.
And then don't jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
We're so quick to be jumping ahead,
yeah,
and going, oh my goodness, this child is in terrible trouble. That might not be exactly where this is going.
Mm.
And then try and walk a mile in another person's shoes every now and again, because that's that empathy.
And nurture it. And nurture it, because if they think you're listening, you'd be amazed.
And when you say nurture it, you are so right, because the more we listen to our children, the more they will share.
That's it.
The more open they are to sharing, the more you will hear about what's going on in their heads, what's going on in their relationships, what's going on in their lives.
Yep.
The longer they will continue to share their internal world with you, the deeper and closer your relationship will become, which means that as they get older, the more likely they are to turn to you,
yep,
in times of crisis, and you actually want to be their first port of call.
Absolutely. Let's play, Nikki. Let's play.
Right. Okay. So this is the game. We've got, you know, so engrossed in our parenting conversations in the last few weeks that we haven't played this for about 3 weeks. It's called 10 on the Spot, and it is a game that focuses on bonds of 10. Now, you're a mum,
yep,
of primary school going children, and bonds of 10 are the basis of a lot of maths. And also remember that when we're playing a game like this with our children, any game, we're actually practicing the art of listening and taking turns as well. So everybody gets one of these ladybirds, these baseboards, and the ladybirds have numbers on them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a 5, a 3, a 7, a 4, and a 1 on my board, and you've got different numbers on yours. And there are all these little discs which have got numbers. And what we have to do is find the number that will make the number on our board 10. So a 5 needs another 5, for example. That makes 10. A 3 and a 7 makes 10. So the first person to cover their board is going to be the winner.
Are the circles differently sized?
No, they're not differently sized. But what you've got on these circles is the number 2 with 2 dots. So we've got the number 2 is the abstract.
Yeah.
2 dots we can count with our fingers. 1, yes, 2. And so that is the semi-concrete,
sure,
the picture of. And then we're going to physically place this disc into the hole, which makes it a very sort of tactile experience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we are learning that a three and a 7 make 10, a 5 and a 5 make 10, a 4 and a 6 make 10, a 1 and a 9 make 10, etc. And we're learning to do it at speed. And if you can work out all the different bonds of 10 and you know how to do those at speed, it makes learning any maths so much easier. So this is a game from Learning Resources, if you Google it online, you'll pick it up in South Africa. There are a number of people who bring Learning Resources products into the country, and it probably retails at around 250 Rand. But a really fun game that is bright and cheerful and makes learning fun.
They won't know they're learning.
They won't know they're learning. They more than anything, they have your attention as well. And you're seeing
learning
them.
Yeah.
And they're important to you.
Yeah.
And you're hearing them.
Yeah.
And everybody's happy.
And everybody's happy. And everybody does well at school. Because I think selfishly, that's all we want.
That's right.
Yep.